What's up, everybody?
What is going on, Jobber Nation? Welcome back to another episode of the Jobber Pod, the Jobber Club Podcast, with your host Nick Vogel, and with always the face who runs the place, Tyler Face.
What's up, buddy? How are you? How you been?
Oh, I've been pretty good. Enjoying the last 2 weeks. Caught up on some college football over the weekend. Pretty excited about that. What about you, man?
I didn't catch up on college ball, but I've been watching the NFL, and Detroit is kicking the shit out of people.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually kind of enjoying that, even though I'm not a Lions fan. I think it's like long overdue for the Lions to
be good. I don't know if you remember the year 2008, but 0-16. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I cried.
I do.
Every single game. That was what our junior year. God, I'm old.
Sophomore.
Yeah, sophomore. Yeah. God, I'm old.
Speaking of not doing so well, like the Lions back in 08, some of these WWE superstars, or should I say former superstars, aren't doing so well with the recent WWE releases.
Oh, dude, holy shit. I've been reading on top of that lately, and I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
You're dropping most of your roster, dude. Like, what's going on here?
I mean, a lot of big names. I mean, Matt Riddle, Dolph Ziggler, Shelton Benjamin.
I wasn't surprised when they said Matt Riddle because he's been on the edge for a while.
Oh, yeah, but he's been having issues.
I want him to be back with Randy Orton because that's when he – that lit a fire under his ass, and he loved that. All of that.
Yeah.
That was such a cool tag team.
It was. It definitely was. And speaking of even Shelton Benjamin, I know he's up there in age, you know, for a performer, but he is the only one of the main five who were in Ohio Valley Wrestling with the likes of John Cena, Batista, Lesnar, and Orton, the class of 2002, to never win the WWE Championship.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's the only one of those five to never win a WWE championship. And that was the class of 2002.
Wow. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, he was the only one of those five to never win one.
That's wild. I never put two and two together.
He's won tag teams, but he's never won the biggest prize of them all.
This is very true.
Other superstars that got released: Elias, Mustafa Ali, Emma, Riddick Moss, Aaliyah, Top Dollar, Rick Boogs, Mace, Mansoor, Dana Brooke, Dabo Kato, Shanky, Ikey Giroux, Ulyssa Leon, Quincy Elliott, Brayson Montana, Kevin Ventura Cortez, Daniel MacArthur,
Jesus Christ,
Alexis Gray, Brooklyn Barlow. And the list goes on and on with 100 other more employees being released that had nothing to do with all backstage and camera.
So my question is, how many people?
That was according to Pro Wrestling Insider.
How many people are going over to AEW? 90% of that roster?
That main roster? I don't know, though. I mean, I could see someone like Elias going over to AEW. I could see someone like Mustafa Ali going to AEW. I'm not sure on Riddle quite yet. I don't know if he'll go back to the sports entertainment route, or if he'll go back to like a UFC type thing. Even though UFC and WWE are still under the same umbrella, I mean, there's other promotions other than UFC that you
can. Oh shit! I forgot about the merger, but I was. Well, I wasn't told. I read up on it about Matt Riddle in the UFC, and they didn't even want him there. So
yeah, because it's under the same. Well, not just under the same, but Dana White actually has, I think, a little bit of a personal beef.
He's got a personal beef with him. I don't even know why. I don't remember. I think it started back when he was in the what the fuck is it called? The Ultimate Warrior, I think.
Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. That's what it was. They had some beef there, and it's just carried on from there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it has. I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to resolve anytime soon. But it would be nice to see Riddle get back out there in the squared circle, really get his head back in there.
It would be. I love his wild shit. At first, I was unsure, but with him, Randy Orton, bro, he was amazing with that.
I think he just needs the right person to guide him like Orton did, and I think he'll be all right. He might end up in AEW. I won't put a pass on if he actually goes to New Japan, wrestles over in New Japan.
Yeah,
there's a lot of top competitors over there. There's a lot of, you know, people that fight his style over there. So we'll see. We'll definitely see if he goes over there.
Good luck to his endeavors, man. I want to see where he goes. He was one of my favorites. I know that, but.
And since they are releasing more than 100 other employees that were mostly off camera, do you see budget cuts? Do you see this being like the first wave of like budget cuts for WWE?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think? Yeah, I think I honestly think so too. I think once the TKO really sees what's all involved and how many people are getting paid by WWE that aren't really doing anything, like for example, Tyler Breeze. Remember, he used to wrestle. He used to
Holy shit! Ready.
Now he's just part of their up, up, down, down page, which is with Xavier Woods. And they run that to gaming page put on by a WWE pretty much. He's on books for that, and he's even in the newest game. So it's like, what do you bring since you're no longer wrestling for us? You know,
no, this is true. This is true.
Could he possibly be looking at it too?
This is true. But he's still a part of content creating for the company. So
yeah, that's true too. It just depends on how much they want to invest and who they want to have doing it. It's just all politics after that, I guess.
Yep, that's all it is politics now.
Speaking of politics, SmackDown deal is announced. The SmackDown deal is announced. According to CBS Sports, SmackDown would move from Fox to USA Network beginning October 2024. As a part of a 5-year deal between the WWE and NBC Universal. WWE will also host 4 NBC primetime network specials as part of the arrangement. USA Network currently airs Monday Night Raw and NXT on Tuesdays, both of which will reportedly move off the network, according to the Hollywood Reporter.
I think it's the beginning of the end for the company.
We have seen them shuffle around Raw, SmackDown, and a third brand before with ECW when it was on Sci-Fi for a while.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
We have had them shuffle around, but we haven't had it to the extent where they bring back SmackDown to USA and then instantly two of your other brands are leaving USA. So it's like, where do we go from here? Are we going to end up putting them on like an NBC? Maybe, you know, Monday night have something on NBC. I don't know. It's not out of the possibility, but I don't see it happening, especially if they get the rights for Monday Night Football or something like that.
Well, yeah. I don't remember what it was. I don't even remember. It was just like I was reading through something and just scrolling through. It said that Monday Night Football is going to take over Monday Night Wrestling.
Oh, I think it already. And honestly, I mean, even though I do love, you know, both, I honestly think that it has come. It's been past that point for like the longest time now. I just don't think you have as many people invested to watch something that's 3 hours long and SmackDown and not really have an investment into it, I guess you could say. I mean, not SmackDown, but Raw. A football game where you could actually have like betting odds, you could have like a fantasy team, something like that, that you have more investment into.
This is true.
The reason why that you're drawing in more ratings.
But I did read something on WWE going for 3 hours or SmackDown.
Oh, they're possibly thinking about moving SmackDown.
Yes, I just recently read that. I think I read it yesterday or last night, actually.
Honestly, as a kid, I used to love the 3-hour shows.
as an adult, it's a stretch.
You're realizing that a lot of these are just promo.
3 hours. I could go watch the Avengers and come back in 3 hours.
Yeah, I could watch Infinity War and possibly start another movie and be all right. You know, it's just like, yeah, the 2 hour shows are just, I think, just right. I think honestly, Raw could be moved down to 2 hours if anything, because you aren't having not only the quality of the matches, but you're having more promos than anything, and more just random stuff that
you're doing too much extra shit when we want entertainment.
Exactly. I mean,
and I like that
those are entertaining, but we like to see the other entertainment side of it.
Yes, I like. We're basic Americans. We're basic people. We like fighting, basically. That's what it is.
We like fighting. We like blood. We like violence. Let's get it on.
That's basically all it is. We want to watch fighting. So
exactly. Well, where do you see, like I was trying, like I pretty much said, could we see, you know, Raw on NBC? Where do you think that these two brands will end up on? Do you think they'll both be on the same channel, or do you think we're going to have three different brands, three different channels?
I don't know, because it's hard to go. It's hard to think about that because
I don't know. I mean, there's that, so that's, many.
That's, I think that's where it's going to go, because I haven't had cable in God knows how long.
Oh yeah,
I stopped paying for cable like 10 years ago. Like, fuck, I haven't had cable since I lived at my mom's house. I've had Netflix.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I could see them going to put it all on, what's that, the Peacock?
Yeah, Peacock, yeah.
I raise that price a little bit, and then you get some more exclusive content or whatever the fuck. Or you get a t-shirt or whatever.
Instead of watching it next day, you can watch it live.
Yes. You pay what, 10, 15 bucks a month?
And you can watch $4.99 right now, but yeah, I think if you raise it up to like $10 a month, I don't see why you would
have I don't see an issue with that at all.
Yeah, I think that's where we're honestly heading. Because I mean, yeah, it's nice to have these wrestling shows on cable and access for like a lot of people. But unfortunately, with streaming, everything being, you know, on Peacock, Hulu, whatever it is, it's just killing it for a lot of it. And I don't see a lot of these wrestling promotions sticking around much longer, where there's much more money to be made with streaming.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know the stats. I don't know how, you know, the reports back to back, you know, the Nielsen ratings from, you know, streaming ratings, if it's, you know,
I think
if there's any differences, or if it's pretty neck and neck, or what it is, but I think streaming will probably end up being the future of it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Like, it's going to be, everybody's always on their phones. Nobody, in my brain, everyone's always has their phone in their hand all the time. Exactly. I always have this stupid fucking thing.
I mean, hey, even before we even started recording, I mean, I wasn't even paying attention, and I was looking at my phone.
I'm always on my phone. I'm always listening to something. I don't even listen to the podcast. I put podcasts on YouTube, and I listen. I rather sit there and like listen and watch.
Oh yeah, like I'll put one on Spotify real quick, and I'll just, you know, go off, do something, just listen to it, you know, and just put it on as background noise, or I'll put it on YouTube and put it as
bad. Hell, I put it on the TV when I'm out there all the time.
Exactly, yeah. Oh man, what it was a week, 2 weeks it's been for wrestling. We had
the last 2 weeks wild.
The Rock was let out of the retirement home.
Yeah.
SmackDown on the 15th. The crowd went absolutely nuts.
I don't know.
Were you a fan of this return?
I don't know. I don't know. Like
I honestly think that a lot of this with Cena and The Rock returning was a lot of it being, I think it was Cena and Dwayne feeling the pressure that, hey, we don't know where our next paycheck's coming from because of the strike going on with the writers.
You know what?
So I'm gonna get some guaranteed money and go back to WWE for a few appearances, get that paycheck for 2-3 weeks, whatever it may be, and then go back to Hollywood when the strike's over. And as I just, as of the at the time of recording, they have announced that the strike is over. So where does this leave Rock and Cena situation with
wrestling? I did not know that. I did not know that was over.
Yes,
I actually haven't been keeping up to it.
There was a tentative agreement. This I think it ended at midnight this morning. So
okay, yeah, I kind of stopped following that. Like, I know it sounds bad, but it was just nothing but like depressing because.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean,
and side quest.
I mean, it goes down with everything.
I don't know how well aware you are about what's going on with GM and Ford and this and that, but all of that right now is going on strike and it's trickling down to where I'm at. So like,
oh yeah, it does.
I get the strike thing. I understand. Like, I get it, but like, fuck, dude.
Oh yeah, it is. It's hard. I mean, you especially when you want to get back to work. Especially when you need to get back to work, you know.
Oh yeah, like, absolutely. You got to put that food on the table for you and mom and the kids.
Exactly. It's like that part I kind of understand where The Rock and where Cena were coming from. I know that they have a lot of money on top of what they already have, but it's like they need work because they don't know how much.
They don't know how to sit down.
Yeah, they don't know how to sit down. They're always on that grind. They're always doing something, and I think that's the reason why they returned. I was not a big fan of the return. With that being said, I wasn't a big fan.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
Especially, you know, when you're out there with Austin Theory. I mean, he's a young guy. Put Austin Theory over. He's already been over. He's already went up against Cena at Mania. What more hoops do you want him to jump through to prove that he's the next up and coming superstar? You know, and it's like, I feel like if they're teasing that matchup, I'm not excited for it. I'm not excited. It's, you know, either The Rock's going to win and it's not going to look really convincing, or Theory's going to win and it's not going to look convincing at all either. So it's a double-edged sword. I feel
I don't know. I don't understand. Like, okay, it's like them sending Seth Rollins back to NXT, I think it was.
Yeah, and then they sent Becky Lynch down there too.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's like you're taking a job from new talent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because, you know, The Rock and Cena, they were 20 plus years ago, you know, they're a thing of the past.
The new generation. Them coming back every now and then, I don't mind, but now.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. Like what I think we mentioned before with the Trish Stratus situation where, you know, she was coming back and she was part of multiple pay-per-view events, you know? And I think she's still signed with the company as like a part-time contract or something like that. But she came back for those handful of matches and she was still wrestling. And it's like, why, you know? Why not put over a younger talent? You know, I kind of ate my words on that because the match that she did have went on to be probably one of the best matches of the night. But it's also that took away from a younger talent, too, that could have possibly also had one of the best matches of the night against Becky Lynch, too, you know.
Right.
I also have a feeling that a lot of people with The Rock's return are like, yes, finally we get Roman versus The Rock.
I don't like that either.
I don't like it either.
That's so stupid. I don't understand it. Why?
I don't like it either.
Let him lose to his cousin. Let him lose to Brock Lesnar. Let him lose to somebody besides The Rock.
And like, not just that, but it's like people were wanting this after WrestleMania 35 when Roman got healthy after his battle with leukemia. People wanted it because it had been his second WrestleMania back. It would be, you know, The Rock wasn't doing much, I don't think, at that time. People are wanting it, and then WrestleMania 37 rolls around. People are wanting it then. And people are wanting it for, like, the last 2-3 years, and it kind of died down a little bit. And not as many people wanting it. And I think it's going to feel like, if you do this match now, I think it's going to feel like a lot like Mayweather versus Pacquiao in the boxing
world. Yeah. Everybody
wanted it for so long. And you had two guys that were beasts back in their prime, fight essentially when they're out of their prime. Well, not necessarily out of their prime, but their tail end of their careers.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense. It just feels like a money and a cash grab. That's all it is. And I think if you do have Roman versus Rock, that's all it's going to be, because you're not going to pin the strap on the Rock, since he's Mr. Hollywood. Roman's going to easily retain. And then where would it leave the entire Cody story also? You know, because Cody.
Let Cody and him fucking fight, man.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Cody beating Roman, but I'm more of a fan of Jey Uso defeating Roman for the championship. But I think they're going to work Jimmy and Jey up to be main eventers at some point in time. But I think ultimately, I think as much as I hate to say it, it has to be Cody that finishes the story.
Yes, yes, yes.
Especially since his dad never won the top prize either, like that. I mean, he's won the NWA championship, but he's never won anything major like the WWE championship.
Right. I've always liked Cody Rhodes. I've been a big giant fan of his since he was with the Ted DiBiase Jr.
Oh yeah, the what was it? Yeah.
$1 million belt or some shit like
yeah,
that.
Well, yeah, well, his dad.
No. I liked him when he was with Randy Orton and Ted DiBiase as the three way Evolution. That's what it was.
Yep, that was a good little stable that they had going.
I really enjoyed that. That was such a cool team. Yeah,
that was, and especially too that they gave it to Randy. I mean, Randy's been a part of so many like stables and so many tag teams in the past. It's been crazy. And it's like the dude, not only can he compete by himself, but he can compete in a group too.
He's a beast. Like that's why I like Randy Orton.
I mean, rumor has it he has actually been down in the performance center training to get back into the ring.
I've seen that and I've read up on that and I'm keeping up on that because I want to see him come back.
Hopefully by the end of the year, if not the beginning of next year, we'll see Randy Orton back in the ring.
I think it might be sooner than that.
Oh, really?
I think it might be sooner.
Survivor Series?
Possibly. Just
That's November.
Yeah. I think it might be sooner, but then again, he could be like, all right, let's wait till the beginning of the year or whatever event.
Money in the Bank.
Yeah. But that's in April, though. No, that's WrestleMania.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah. He can come back and win that.
Ooh, number 30.
Oh, number one and just stay the entire match?
I mean, don't tempt me. I mean, we've already had something close to that within the past, you know. Didn't the Women's Royal Rumble or something have like the number one entry? Oh, Rhea, yeah. She was number
one. Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. So we already had one within the last year. So, I mean, it went for the past creative, you know. You're just coming off a strike, so the creative juices aren't flowing yet.
Yeah.
Well, speaking, since we've talked about Cody, former AEW EVP and Ross and pretty much mid-carder at AEW. Jade Cargill has also decided to leave AEW and has officially signed with the WWE.
Jesus Christ. So basically all I'm seeing, and this is in my head, mommy and daddy don't like you over here, so they're going to put you over here.
Two Christmases.
That's basically what it is.
Reports have also been saying that part of her contract right now is that she is technically a quote-unquote free agent for WWE, which means she can appear on any of the three brands at any given time. Kind of like,
you know what? Good for her.
I definitely like the idea. I mean, she pretty much did every single show that AEW had. She did Dynamite. She did the Dynamite. She did Dark. Elevation, whatever it was, whatever all four or five of their little shows that they have besides Dynamite, she would do it all. And I think that's what she wants to prove, is that she can do it no matter what brand it is. And I kind of like that. You know, it shows that she's eager, you know, that she wants to win something.
This is very true.
Do you see, since she did have a little bit of an unbeaten streak in AEW, she went, I can't remember how many matches without being beaten. I think it was like 50-something, maybe north of that. Do you see WWE try to do something with her with an unbeaten streak, kind of like what they did with Asuka when she had a 914-day unbeaten streak through NXT and main roster.
Possibly, but they've.
I don't think it'll be that long, though.
In my head, I think.
I'm not talking championship runs. I'm just talking unbeaten in general.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Goldberg did back in the, you know.
Possibly, but I'm not sure because they've already done that storyline with Asuka.
They love repeating stuff.
Yeah, you know what? That's true.
I mean, I don't see it being that long of like almost, 3 years of unbeaten. I don't see it being that long. I see it maybe being like maybe a year and a half, 2 years maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already invested with the bloodline going on almost freaking 4 years already.
Yeah, like I said a couple shows back, I'm over the bloodline. Get it over with. Destroy it. That's what they always did. That's what they did with the Hardy Boys. They built them up for a beast of a fucking team, and then they split them up. Yeah. They do that with such good tag teams, and it's kind of annoying now.
Oh, yeah, it is. It definitely is. I mean, it's annoying.
Because Jay and Jimmy and Jay were fucking amazing. And then they got in the bloodline and then kind of just started falling apart.
But I will be, like I said, I will be interested to see how their solo runs go. It gives me a little bit of a feeling like a Bret and Owen Hart situation. Where, you know, they were tag teams and then they had a little bit of a falling out. And then they ended up being solo runs for like the longest time. And then every now and then here and there, they're tagged together. Could you see that possibly
happening? I could see that. I mean, they're not going to do it full time.
Oh, no, they're going to do it
every now and then. I can see that because Matt and Hardy, Jesus Christ, Matt and Hardy, yep. Matt and Jeff used to do that all the time.
Oh, yeah, they used to, yeah. I mean, I could see them, you know, especially with Jay looking like he's getting the big time push. I mean, not saying that Jimmy isn't either, but, you know, Jay's just the main one noted now because he threatened to quit and he ended up going to Monday Night Raw. I see him getting a decent push. I hope that, you know, like I said, I hope he's the one that.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see him in the. Is that the Judgment Day? No, that's not.
Yeah,
that's the Judgment Day. I kind of want to see him demolish that group, but hey, that's just me.
What if he ends up putting on the eyeliner and ends up becoming part of the Judgment Day?
Yeah, hey. Fuck it. I actually seen a picture of that the other day, and I'm like, you know what? That's funny because I could see that, and I wouldn't be mad at that either. I mean,
do you think with the pressures of moving from AEW to WWE, you know, for Jade Cargill, do you think she'll have any issues? I mean, she was a big fish in a little pond compared to the locker room wise for AEW's women's division.
Well,
I mean, it wasn't necessarily the strongest division in professional wrestling. WWE takes the cake hands down when it comes to the women's division easily. Do you think she'll feel any of those pressures?
I think she'll have to start from the bottom and work her way back
up. Oh, yeah, she'll definitely.
I mean, that's what
I mean. I think it'll be kind of stupid for them to put her in any type of main picture right away. I think
let her build up the momentum now.
I think she'll be one of the guest appearances, make her quote unquote debut, probably do an interference or something, probably at Fastlane
the next day. That'd be pretty smart. That'd be some smart marketing
because then that
get her to turn heel.
Well, she's already a natural heel as it is. So, yeah. I mean, it'll just fit to her persona.
This is very true. I don't know much about her. That's why.
I mean, you can have her debut either at the next NXT takeover, or you can either have her debut at Fastlane, which is coming up in, you know, 6-7 days, you know, at the time of recording. Shit.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's the 6th.
Wow.
October 6th. Yeah, that's their next pay-per-view event.
Holy shit. Well, that's the next day is my boy's. We're having a big birthday party for big boy, for my son. He turned 10 yesterday. Wednesday.
Yep. Happy birthday to him from all of Jobber Nation.
Yeah. He's Nick, I'm old.
I know we are. We are. We're old and we're talking about wrestling and we're trying to have it back to the good old days, but we know that the good old days were just...
They're gone.
Yeah, they are gone. Speaking of gone, I wish Nia Jax was gone.
Me too, dude.
Did you hear the injury list? She has injured two superstars.
Already?
And it, guess what? They happened on her return, when she returned. She has injured Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez.
For fuck's sake.
So congratulations to whoever had Rhea Ripley or Raquel Rodriguez as being one of the first injured by Nia Jax. Congratulations, you win. The prize is nothing, but you win.
Jesus Christ, already.
The WWE confirmed both superstars were injured when Nia Jax made her return. The seriousness of the injuries and the time being missed has yet to be released. We have seen her time and time again be unsafe in the ring. When's the WWE going to learn?
They just brought her back, so I highly doubt they're going to fucking let her go.
I mean, but they brought her back, and then you injure possibly two of your biggest up-and-coming women's division stars that you have, and Raquel Rodriguez and Rhea Ripley. I mean, eventually,
all right, take your check, like, Nia Jax, and get the fuck out.
Exactly. I mean,
you're not gonna ruin.
It's bad. It's real bad. I mean, it's even bad when you have Stevie Richards going on YouTube making videos on how unsafe of a worker you are just based on the performances that you put in the ring.
All right, Nia Jax, get your shit and get out. That's what my boss would tell me.
Finally, speaking of getting out, Edge's contract with the WWE.
Bro.
To expire.
If he goes, oh my God, I'm my brain just. But if he goes to AEW, what happens?
Well,
does he tag back up with Christian?
I see him being more like a Sting role, where he has a few matches here and there.
That's true. I could see that too. I could see that.
But he's almost 50. I mean,
but I could see him getting with Christian one or two more times.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, all right, I'm good. Maybe like a one-off here or there. Yeah. According to Cultaholic, Edge may be going to AEW.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was reading.
Cultaholic's Aiden Gibbons reports that Edge is closer to AEW more than ever. And going on to say AEW are believed to be interested in Edge, and an 11-time world champion knows how much AEW will offer him as part of a deal. Already turning down contracts from WWE.
We might have something there.
Most importantly, though, if they do tag back up, can we finally get another Edge and Christian versus the Hardys for a tag team match?
Don't. Hey, I'm gonna say the words of Hawkeye. I'm gonna say the words of Hawkeye. Don't give me that hope. Because that'll be such an amazing, the people who have
released this information have also released when CM Punk was getting fired. They've been right about that, and they're right about Jade Cargill too. So far they have been pretty decent. More contract news. Sami Callihan has confirmed on X, aka Twitter, 9:30 he is a free agent. As of time of recording, that is in less than 6 hours.
This is
true.
The former
Impact World Champion spent 6 years at the promotion. Where do you see Sami going next? He did have an NXT contract back in 2012. He was there from NXT from 2012 to 2015.
Say his last name again.
It's Callahan. Sami Callihan. He was released from the WWE in 2015. Do you see him maybe going back to the indie scene, working a few smaller promotions, or do you think he'll end up in AEW with his former tag team partner, John Moxley, to reunite the Switchblades? Callahan was a former tag team partner of him back in CZW days, so.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I can't picture on who he is. Sammy Callahan.
He was one of, I mean, he was one of Impact's probably better world champions, let's just say that way.
Okay, okay, there he is. There
he was in the mix of, like, yeah, a lot of, I'm drawing the biggest blank now for name-wise. But, yeah, he was.
Wait a minute. That's not who it is it? I'm sorry, my brain is fried for a second.
Oh, it's all right.
But I vaguely remember him, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I do see him probably going back. Not going back, what? But going to AEW.
Yeah, I could see that.
New Japan. I know that New Japan and AEW have a really good working contract together, so I could see him possibly going to there or even signing with Ring of Honor since it is owned by Tony Khan also.
Right.
Since we are on the subject, a little bit of AEW, talk about Tony Khan. AEW's Wrestle Dream is this weekend. This pay-per-view is in honor of New Japan Pro Wrestling founder Antonio Inoki. The event takes place 1 year after his death, and to start the event, there will be a 10-bell salute for him. This match has a lot of decent matches. This pay-per-view event has a lot of decent matches on there. One being Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr.
I'm not going to lie. I forgot he was even in AEW because when he went, his name was super big, and then it just started like silencing, and that's just the way I see it.
Oh, I think it's because of injury too. He did have he did have injuries. Actually, this match right here between ZSJ was supposed to happen at Forbidden Door 2022, but it didn't happen because Danielson was injured.
This is true. That's why I haven't heard a bunch about him.
Yeah, he's been injury prone a lot lately. But yeah, Zach Sabre Jr. is coming into this match with being the current and inaugural New Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Champion with a current reign of over 267 days. Unfortunately, we will not be able to put the straps up for this match. It's just a singles match. It would be cool to see because both wrestlers are a real technical style of wrestling. Lots of holds, lots of maneuvers like that. Not going to be real high flying, I think.
Right.
It's just going to be one of those.
It's just going to be more
technical than anything.
Yes, more hands on. Not high flying.
Exactly. And I actually kind of like that for a match. You know, I'm more of the old school type of guy where the locks and the holds are doing pretty good.
I'm more of like a Jeff Hardy fan. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, where I like those matches too.
Shit, all stupid matches. I like madness.
Oh, yeah.
Because I work better in chaos.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the way my brain works. You've known me since middle school.
It's the ADHD in all of us. You know, we all strive in chaos.
I control my chaos, though.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. But, yeah, Danielson looked good. The last pay-per-view event for AEW, All Out, where he had the strap match with Ricky Starks. He looked good there. I hope that this match will probably be the match of the night, honestly, because the way the card looks, unless there's something that's going to be, you know, blown out of my mind and a match stealer for some reason. And I like how Bryan Danielson has really been stepping up for AEW since the firing of CM Punk. He seems like to be like the go-to guy with the damage control and the way he's been putting on with the matches lately.
This is true.
I honestly think, though, with this being a tribute match to the former New Japan Pro Wrestling owner and founder, I see Zack Sabre Jr. winning. I think it's going to be one of those matches that's going to be real technical. It's going to be probably possibly a tap out at the end.
I haven't seen a good tap out match in a long time.
And yeah, that's what I'm wanting to see. That's what I'm waiting for. I think the last decent tap out match, I can't even remember. It's been a while. I mean,
the last I quit match I remember was between Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy. No. It might have been either that one or when John Cena taped up Batista's legs around the pole and made him have a count out or some shit like that. But that's been, what, 15 years?
Something like that, yeah. Do you see, since Bryan Danielson is so injury-prone over this last tail end of his career, do you possibly see Zack Sabre Jr. being the last big name that he wrestles before he retires? Because, I mean, if you look at it, Zack Sabre, he's been a name in New Japan for the longest time. He's one of their main guys over in New Japan, besides Okada and a lot, and Ibushi, and the list goes on and on. But he can hold
his own. I could see him going up. I could see him stepping up. Hell yeah, I could.
I mean, I especially since, you know, like I said, we don't know how many more years Daniel Bryan has.
Wasn't he
possibly be the one of the last big guys that he faces, well-known guys that he faces?
In WWE, wasn't he like injured really bad? He had to like retire or something.
Concussion.
I couldn't remember if it was a concussion, his back, or what.
Yeah, I think it was his concussion. I do say it was concussions and like injuries like that relating to concussions. Other matches that we have on here on the card include Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland, formerly known as Isaiah Swerve Scott in WWE. This match, I mean, it's a mini homecoming for Swerve Strickland. He was born in Tacoma, about 40 minutes from where the event will be placed. It will be taking place at in Seattle. I've never been a fan of Swerve Strickland, really. Even when he was Isaiah Swerve Scott back in NXT in his WWE days. Never really been a fan of the Hit Row in general, but I did like what he was doing with the tag team when he first got to WWE with Keith Lee. I thought that was a really good tag team, but I realized that the tag division's already stacked as it is, and to have that tag team would make kind of little to no sense to stay around. So, but anyways, going back to this match, I'm a real big fan of Hangman Adam Page. I have been since he was in New Japan, when he was just a member of the Bullet Club and just coming up. I think he's going to be one of the younger pillars that AEW looks towards the future with.
Yes.
I see him possibly dethroning MJF when the time comes. Now with CM Punk being gone, and CM Punk, no disrespect to him, but having a championship on a 40-something plus year old man makes no sense to me. Why not have it on someone that's younger and that can learn from that experience?
This is true. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. This is just true.
I mean,
you can have. Oh, excuse me. That come. Oh God, I'm sorry. That come out of nowhere. Why not have CM Punk be like a Paul Heyman type character for the younger generation? Because he's good on the fucking mic. He's always been good on the mic.
I think it's his issue is he wants to find a wrestling promotion that fits his ideal wrestling promotion. And he's not going to find it because not everybody's going to agree with his opinions.
This is
the only way he will get that is if he has the money and forks up the money and starts his own promotion where it can be built into his image and his likeliness of whatever. However, he wants to run things. Also going on in that card is FTR versus Aussie Open for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. I'm just going to put it out flat this way. I don't see FTR dropping those titles, especially against Aussie Open, who are like, what, 3 or 4 weeks removed from losing the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships to Better Than You, Baby. So I don't see them defeating FTR.
No, I can't. I mean,
especially FTR being as good as they are, technical wrestlers, no flips, just fists. They're top guys, so I think they'll be holding on to that champion, those championship belts for a very long time.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. I'll agree with that.
Next match on the card, we have MJF versus The Righteous, which is Vincent and Dutch in a 2-on-1 handicap match for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships.
All right. Well, who's the champs now?
Well, MJF and the champs are better than you, baby. But Adam Cole is going to be missing this pay-per-view event due to a broken ankle that will require surgery. The break is in 3 places, according to his girlfriend, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD's ex account.
So then
they were going to relinquish them, but Tony Khan allowed MJF to wrestle in a 2-on-1 handicap match to defend those titles.
Well, I think they just should have relinquished them.
But this makes a good storyline too.
But then come back and be like, yo, those are mine. I'm taking them back. We're at the top, and make it a battle for like 2 or 3 pay-per-views. And then the fourth pay-per-view, like a 2 out of 3, you know what I mean? Like you win one, you lose one.
Like what they did for Cesaro and Sheamus, best out of 7 series.
Yes, 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 yes.
But my biggest thing is, if you're like the owner, like Vince McMahon, he would say vacated. It's vacated. Who's coming back? That's why I want to know who's coming back. And it has to be someone that respected MJF in the past or worked with MJF in the past. The only person that I could think of is Wardlow's coming back. And Wardlow's going to run interference or something on it last minute, and he's going to realign with MJF after being away from him for so long. That's a guy that we haven't seen on TV for a hot minute, too.
Yeah.
I mean, but other than that, I got The Righteous winning.
Yeah. It's going to
happen. Other than that, we have, I think, the only other match that I'm really excited for on there would probably be, I'm just trying to look at it because I don't want to go through all the matches because there's 10 freaking matches. They always have long pay-per-view events. But I think my next match that I think would be probably good would be the Chris Statlander versus Julia Hart match for the TBS Championship. I love seeing Julia Hart get a push now that she's the Dark Priestess in the House of Black. And Statlander's been one of my favorites since she's even started with AEW in the women's locker room. I see this match being a decent match. I think that they're both going to bring it. And makes this match even more fun is Julia Hart's last singles loss was against Chris Statlander on an episode of AEW Dark in April of 2022.
This is true.
So could she be the possibility? Could she possibly defeat Statlander, who has had the strap for about almost 4 months now?
I mean, she's got something to prove, right?
Oh yeah, she does.
She's gonna push it until she gets hurt or she gets that belt.
I think right now, I know I gave the TNT Championship so much shit for it changing hands so many times. But
Jesus Christ, that bounced around too much.
Statlander's only the second champion of this TBS championship. I think they need, it's been over, I think, 200 days probably as champion. I think it's just enough time. Have her lose the belt. She'll get it back eventually. I think we need a new champion. My pick for that one says, my gut says Statlander, but my brain says Julia Hart. Gotta go with the gut. I think Statlander retains, even though I do want to see a new champion.
She's gonna retain.
I do expect interference though from the House of Black somehow, some way, not just Brody King, who will be out there. but all the other three members of the House of Black.
Yeah.
I mean, other two members of House of Black, sorry.
Did Rhea Ripley and what's his name ever get married yet?
Buddy Matthews?
Yeah.
Not yet. Not yet. They're engaged.
Dude, I hate it when like I hate it how the WWE and AEW intertwine with personal life. That fucks with me.
I didn't like it when they did it with Natalya when when Jim D'Anvil died, and then they did the entire thing with him.
Or even Matt Hardy and Lita. I hated it so much. I'm like, no, dog, that's my girl. Leave me alone. Like, no, fuck that storyline. I hate it. Oh my god.
And since I want to give a little shout out real quick to AEW's Rey Fénix for defeating Jon Moxley and winning the International Championship at Dynamite Grand Slam. Nice to see Rey get a singles championship. You don't really see him with an individual championship that much here in the United States. Mostly in Mexico's AAA. He'll win, you know, championships down there, but it's nice to see him with an individual in the United States. In a promotion in the United States as a champion. Since we are on the subject of pay-per-view events with Wrestle Dream, WWE's Fastlane will be Saturday, October 7th at the Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana.
I'm like, so on some real shit, I'm like 2.5 hours from there. Like, not even lying to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I live 2.5 hours from Indy, about 2.5 hours from Chicago, about five hours from Detroit.
Oh yeah, you're right in the.
I'm right in the dead center.
You know, yeah. We only have two matches so far that have been announced. I expect more to be announced tonight at time of recording. Friday Night SmackDown will be on in about a couple hours.
I'll be watching that.
And I expect more matches to be announced Monday on Monday Night Raw. But the matches so far that we have are Seth freaking Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a last man standing match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. And the other match that's announced is John Cena versus the Bloodline, which is Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa, and a 2-on-1 handicap match.
But I think that match, I think there's going to be like a special guest or someone comes out of nowhere. The Rock
will come out.
Yeah. I think it'll be something like that. Geez.
Yes, it will be. But Jobber Nation, that is about all we have for you this episode. Thank you for listening to another episode of the greatest podcast by jabronis and for jabronis.
You can guys, eventually.
Social media and the description.
Go ahead, share your links, bro. Share your links.
They're in the description, man. All the links will be in the description that you need. If you want to check out more wrestling news, you can go to pwinsider.com and cultaholic.com.
That's definitely that's where we get most of our information from. And I follow a bunch of shit on Facebook. I get it from there too. I don't use Twitter. I gave up Twitter. I was going to use it. I don't even know how to use X or whatever the fuck it's called. So you can find me at Tyface on Instagram. Tyface. Let me pull it up real quick.
You got Tyface Gaming 13 at Twitch TV.
I'm actually been debating on rebranding.
Oh, okay.
Because I got kicked out of my Kick account, my old one, so I had to make a new one. So I'm like, why don't I just rebrand everything? Exactly. So guys, oh my god, where's it at? So right now, you can go follow me at TyFaceGaming13, and eventually it'll just be FaceGaming13.
All right, sounds good. You heard it from
and
that
that's on right Twitch. There. That's going to be on Twitch here probably today. Kick Face Gaming 13, and then Facebook is just my name, Tyler Face, and Instagram will be Face Gaming 13 as well.
Also, we have one last quick announcement I would like to say before we end the episode. It's a real special announcement. Over the past recordings, we have found that it's been a little hectic with the amount of content that we have to absorb for the two-week show. That's why we have decided to...
Damn!